Loving Beyond the I Do podcast
is produced and sponsored by
LegendaryRelationship.com.
All things marriage,
all the time.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Loving Beyond the I Do. I have two very special guests with me here today to share their very own unique, yet I'm sure similar marriage experiences. They are both divorced and are here to share some insights and wisdom. Cue the music.
Welcome to Loving Beyond the I Do podcast. This power couple is building stronger marriages one day at a time. Talking about real issues on love, relationships, and marriage longevity. Let's break down the barriers and engage in healthy conversation with your hosts, Jason and Tina Marie. Take a seat and buckle up because things are about to get real.
Hello, everyone. I'm here today by myself. Jason will not be joining us today. Yay! So keep the applause down. But I have Cynthia and Lisa here with me today to share their stories. So we're talking about marriage, and unfortunately, this part of the segment, we're talking about divorce. So let's start with Cynthia. Cynthia, how many times have you been married, and how many times have you been divorced, and if you're still married?
Married three times, mm-hmm. Divorced three times, and probably will never do this again.
All right. How about you, Lisa?
I've been married once and divorced once.
Okay. And will you do it again?
I say no, but I don't want to say never.
Okay. So all right. Never know. Say never.
Never say never, but okay. I don't think so, if that makes sense.
Okay. So let's start with Cynthia. She has the upper number, so we're going to start with her. So let's fill us in with three times. I say that because
that's a lot.
That is quite a lot. You said never to do it again. Are you saying never say never? You just never know. What if you actually find the right person this time?
You know, I always tell people that the ship has sailed, it's crashed, and it's at the bottom of the ocean. So I don't think I will ever do it again. I have people that say you just haven't met your soulmate yet, and I just worry that I've met that soulmate, and because I wasn't ready, that opportunity has passed.
I would disagree. I would have to say, because what God has for you, it is for no one else. So if your soulmate is out there, I don't think you could have missed the opportunity. I think if it is someone out there for you, they'll circle back around. But the thing that I would say is that you can't be closed to it. You have to be open to it. You have to, you know, say, okay, I don't think I'll ever get married, but you have to be open to the idea of finding a soulmate. And then you just never know. Because if we kind of look at it, well, I did it three times and I'm not looking to do it again, sometimes we're closing off those avenues.
I agree. I know I've closed off. There is such a fear of pain, of opening yourself up again, and that person not just being who you thought they were, who they presented themselves to be. And I think as you get older and as you spend more time by yourself, it becomes more difficult to open those doors and let someone in. You get set in your ways.
Absolutely.
You don't want to change the things that you do. I try to work out as often as I can. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to change my workout schedule. I would have to fit someone into my life. So they would have to be super special for me to adjust my life to fit them in.
So, and in saying that, I'm thinking, we always tell people, our kids or whomever, when you want something, you have to say what it is you want. I think we're all created for a mate. Honestly, I think that we can be good and happy by ourselves, but I think a mate kind of adds to the plus one, gives us a little bit more joy, a little bit more happiness, more. God gave us love to share love. And I think if you can share it with someone, they can share it with you. But going back to my point is that you have to be specific. So you have to say, you wouldn't rearrange your life. It would be more on the line of, if I found someone, they would have to either A, be able to accept the fact that I work out 4 or 5 hours a day or whatever it is you do, or they would work out while we do it together. Like Jason and I, we work out together. So in saying that, we would have, you would have to kind of be specific in what you're looking for in a mate, so that it's not so much that you would have to change what you've become accustomed to because you've gotten set in your ways, but you actually find someone who complements those things that you now do, and they wouldn't want to change you, because that's really what a mate is. We're not looking to for someone to change us. We're looking for someone to add to what we already are and complement us. But not going into that, but let's go back to your first marriage. So, and this is for both of you guys. So, like, why did you get married? I always say there's this thing in marriage. It's either a why or a how. I got married because, you know, why or how or this or that. So was your first marriage, was it, kind of fill us in with the first marriage, and then Lisa, you can kind of join in.
The first marriage, I was 23.
Okay. You say that as if that's young.
I think it was young.
Okay.
He was 22. I had known him since I was 14.
Okay.
So we had been friends. And I think I did not know enough about him, about his family, and for me to be able to plan a life with him.
You think you didn't know enough about him, or you didn't know enough about you?
Both. Either.
You know, because we had a previous podcast, and we were talking about, actually it was the last one we dropped, and it was about Jason and I got married really young. And like, at that age, you think you know everything.
Exactly.
And then when you turn 30 and you get older, you go, I really didn't know diddly squat. So it's not always about the other person that you learn, but more or less what you learned about yourself, what you're willing to put up with, what you're willing to accept, what you want. So you said you were really young, and...
Well, he was and still is a substance abuser.
Okay.
And I don't know if I had known that at the time. I don't think... Honestly, I don't know if it would have changed anything.
So you didn't know when you got married?
No.
Okay.
No. It became progressively worse.
Okay.
To the point of not being able to hold down a job. To this day, he doesn't have a permanent residence.
Okay. So, I'm not really concerned about the men per se, the husbands. Mm-hmm. I'm really concerned about you as an individual, what you learned from the first one, and then you went into your second one, but we're going to pause on that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So your first marriage. So why did you get married? But you didn't tell us the why. So we'll come back. You told us you were young, but you didn't tell us the why. Okay.
So I was 28.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 28. Yeah. 28. And he was younger. We met at a dance club, and I thought that I was in a good spot in my life because I had my stuff together. I had a job.
You said he was younger?
Younger.
Okay.
Younger by 3 years.
Okay.
And he was a teacher. I'm a teacher. So I thought, oh my gosh, you know, he's handsome. He likes to dance. But as I got to, you know him just dating wise,
mm-hmm.
It was just the bells and whistles. You know, it was just boyfriend material. He wasn't husband material. But as I, you know, as we went on in a relationship, I wasn't happy within myself.
Okay.
So I just feel like...
You settled or...
I settled. And then I got pregnant after 6 months of dating.
Wow. Okay.
So we got married because I was pregnant.
So that was your why.
That was my why.
And so did you say, okay, I'm pregnant for him, and you all discussed we should get married. So you thought that even though you knew he wasn't husband material, you still felt that... And what I'm trying to think is, like, did you think beyond the, okay, I'm going to marry him? Or did you just think, we're just going to get married because I'm pregnant? Like, did you think beyond that?
I knew that I was a teacher, and then I had a lot of people to answer to at work.
Okay.
And I was pregnant, and I teach my students, like, okay, like, I'm
upstanding.
Yeah, okay. Like, they look up to me, and mm-hmm. I didn't want to have a belly with no ring.
Okay. So you were really concerned with what people were thinking.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And if, as we go further in this conversation, I'm a different person now.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I have learned so much about myself, because now I could care less. If I could go back, I could care less if that would happen mm-hmm. again to me. But it needed to happen for me to get through a lot of the struggles that I have gone through in my life to get to where I'm at now. Because
okay.
I'm a totally different person.
Okay.
But it happened, and he's not a bad person. He's not a bad dad. He's just...
It just wasn't right.
It just wasn't right. And I knew it before we got married.
And so what was your why?
See, I would agree with that. He's not a bad person. We're still friends. My why was I thought I was getting old. My best friend had gotten married. She met a guy.
At 23, you were getting old.
Yes. My best friend got married, and she had met a guy that got married in 9 months. And I'm like, wow, I'm not married. I don't have a ring. And it's the societal pressure.
It is, because that's so funny that you say that. I have a few young girls that I know, and they feel like that. Like, their friends are getting married, they're having babies, and they're like my life is like going nowhere. It's a mm-hmm. shame. And sometimes it's society's pressures that makes us do things that we really don't want to do.
Exactly.
And so I would assume that you didn't think beyond the I do either. You would like, okay, no. I'm just gonna.
With the first marriage, I was so domestic. I was cooking. I was just really, you know, I was into being married, but I didn't know what marriage entailed.
Absolutely.
I had no idea.
No, way to know.
Yeah. My mom had been divorced. My grandmother had been divorced. My aunt was never married. So I did not have any role models to see what marriage should look like.
Okay. How did it happen? Like, you, because in your mind, you're thinking, okay, I need to get married. And then you have this boyfriend and you just say, let's get married.
Yeah, we were actually, he was a professional baseball player in okay. minor leagues. And okay. a lot of the other couples were married.
Okay.
So it was just kind of a natural progression. I didn't want to be living with him
okay.
anymore. And that, for whatever reason, felt uncomfortable. And I agree with you, Lisa. I think that me now wouldn't care.
Right.
But the me then.
But we did. Have to grow. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the part of being young and naive. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So now, at what point in your marriages, a year later, 2 months later, did you start to realize that things were going? Because even though we may not know what marriage looked like or what marriage is, we still have an idea in our mind what we think marriage is, what it's going to be like. So like you said, I was real domestic. So you knew that as a wife, these are things that you should do. And then you knew I'm going to be a wife and a mom. So we still had this perception in our head, what we thought. So at what point did you get to when you go, you know what, I'm not happy. This isn't working. Like, tell us your story.
I knew right away.
Okay.
Because we were both teachers. I've always wanted my husband to be there with me and the kids, mm-hmm. cooking, cleaning together, having our kids see that family dynamic. And he coached. He coached gymnastics. He chose to coach. And he was a first year teacher, and he didn't have to do it. He thought he had to do it. And here I am with a new baby, and I had postpartum depression, and I was miserable, and I needed him, and he didn't make a change.
So you felt as though, because again, it's not about the husband. Mm-hmm. It's more about your journey. So you had this baby, and I think you were miserable. So what I'm hearing is that you were miserable because you felt you didn't have his help.
I had zero help.
Right. And so that in itself makes us feel a certain type of way mm-hmm. towards someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm alone. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So you had a lot of resentment. And then what's going on? What's going on with you? Like, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? What are your reactions, your actions?
Well, I tried to express how I felt mm-hmm. like, okay, hey, what are we going to do? Because I want you to be home. This is how I'm feeling, what I'm going through. Can we do something about it? Was my first step. Cause I'm a problem solver. I want to figure it out. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to quit this or quit that, but it never happened.
But again, you were trying to change what he wanted to do to fit into what you wanted. Right. Well, because see, what I'm really trying to say, and you can join in. What I'm really trying to say is that sometimes we're looking at, okay, I want you to do this, but he didn't do it. And that caused this. But mm-hmm. if we really take a closer look at it, it's not what they did. It's what we were putting on them to do that. We already knew they weren't that type of person in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So then we kind of have to take a deeper look at ourselves and say, what part did I play in that marriage going into it? And what could I have done differently now that I'm older? Because just like you said, now that I'm older, I wouldn't have cared what people thought.
Well, I think I shouldn't have gotten married.
Right. Okay.
That's what I shouldn't have done. I mean, I think that you can have, if I have gone back, just not getting married because, and we never had those conversations.
Okay.
Like the mm-hmm. expectations of what what is our marriage going to look like? Like, are you going to be home? Are you going to be taking care? Because I took care of everything. Like, I have a full-time job. You have a full-time job. It's expected that Lisa, you know, takes care of the kids in the morning, after work, picks them up, cooks dinner, cleans the house. But you get to do this, and I don't get to do what I want to do.
But you realize right now what you said is that you never had those talks.
We never did.
And so you were expecting this, and he was expecting something else, but you never talked.
Because we didn't communicate.
And that was one of the issues.
Absolutely.
So
I would agree with that, that communication is key. Mm-hmm. I think about now deal breakers, mm-hmm. things that either a man or a woman, you know, but as women, things that we have to say to ourselves are deal breakers. This is something I won't tolerate. This is right. something mm-hmm. I don't Absolutely. Like. This is right. something I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we never had conversations about marriage or what our marriage would look like.
Mm-hmm. Right.
My final deal breaker was being pregnant and I'm the only one going out working. And you're at home. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you an opportunity to get a job. And if you don't have a job within this amount of time, because I'm pregnant and I'm going to work. So,
and again, I'm listening to both of you all mm-hmm. stories and I'm thinking again, because so often we get into marriage, one, not knowing what marriage is.
Exactly.
And then we have expectations of what we want it to be. And then when we try to put those expectations on our spouse and it doesn't come out right, then we're looking for fault. But really, it's what we don't know about marriage. It's kind of what we don't know, we don't understand, and we really, truly don't know how to communicate that to the other person who we've married because for whatever reason, the communication isn't there.
Yes, so, I would agree.
How long were you married the first time?
Let's see. I think it was 3 or 4 years.
Okay. And how about you?
9 years? 9 years.
Wow. You knew right away and you were there for 9 years.
Yes.
How did you stay in a marriage that you knew?
My kids.
Okay.
My kids. My daughter was really sick baby mm-hmm. up until she was about 6.
Okay.
I knew that if I got a divorce and he had to be with her at some point on his own, there was no trust. So I had to wait until she got older. As bad as that sounds, that's the truth. And I just waited until she got a little older because I didn't trust him with her alone. I didn't, or trust, yeah, trust him with her alone. So I just waited until she was older. And then as bad as it sounds too, we had another kid and then he promised me that he would quit coaching and quit doing these things. And we went to therapy. We worked on a lot of different things together. Okay. And we started communicating and it would get better. And then he would resort right back.
And so what do you think during those 9 years? You said it got better, but did you learn anything from what you did that first time around that if you were to get married again, how you would do it differently?
Absolutely. That I have to be good first. And that's the number one thing. Like, I have to be good. I have to be good within myself, like as a whole person, mm-hmm. you know. Mentally, emotionally, physically, that's number one. Boundaries are huge. Like my expectations and boundaries of what I want in a relationship and communicate that to my partner and what they expect from me too. And I think that communication has to, you know, you have to relay that right from the get-go.
So what was your deal breaker? When you got it, like, because you were in this marriage for 9 years and you didn't only have one, but now you had two. And so
he lost his job.
Okay.
And then, so I was the only one working. We had this huge, beautiful house.
Why do these two stories kind of, you know, simulate? Like I said, you know, and I've never heard either story, but mm-hmm. as I said in the intro, different, unique, but yet I'm pretty sure they're similar and, mm-hmm. and they are. Okay. So,
and I'm making the money, working, and he's like, well, I want this specific job. I want a high school teaching job. I want a coach. Well, you have to, if you can't get that job, you're going to have to find something different. Well, that's not what I want. Well, now he's dipping into my savings that I worked for before we met. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now all of my money is starting to dwindle. And I'm like, okay, well, you need to get a job because I can't continue to do this. And, you know, you're using my money. So I started to fill out resumes for him and do all of this and all of, and then he started a sub at my school because he could not find a job.
So I'm just having a question. So you're like, he started dipping into your savings. So even at that point, it's not really your relationship that you're not liking. It's the fact it's money. It's really just a money. It's another check mark on what you don't like. So first it's, he's not doing this or he's not doing that. But then now it's the issue of money.
It's when I think about the whole thing, we're just, he's just not the type of person that I should have dated in the first place. Had I been better and from the beginning, I would have never dated him. He's just a different, I'm just motivated and I'm driven and he's not. And we just don't,
it wasn't
align.
Compatible from the beginning.
It was not. And I tried to make it work and I did it for the kids and I did it for the wrong reason.
Okay.
Because we still are the same way. We still fight about the same things when it comes to our kids. You know, we still fight about the same things. And okay. He still has the same issues at his job now that he has because he's just.
We're not talking about him. You know? We're not talking about him. Okay. We're talking about us. We're talking about what we learned. And why I'm asking that is because if you can see going into another relationship, what part you played and where you kind of lacked and realizing
sure
that you weren't at a good enough place with yourself, so you accepted something less.
Absolutely.
And that's what it was. And it's not, he's not at fault for whomever he is because that's who they are.
Exactly.
That's so true. We can't fault someone else. But the thing is that we have to learn from ourselves that going forward, what can I do different? We're trying to show people that marriage is not something you should take lightly. And I think that's what I'm trying to get across. The title of this is Loving Beyond the I Do. Because people think up until the I Do. Oh, I want to get married. Oh, I want to do this. And so they never think beyond, like, what's going to happen after that? What's going to happen when we get married and it's just him and I, and how are we going to make it work? And they don't think that. They think that, you know, for instance, you know, getting pregnant is going to work, or I love him is going to work, or I want to get married because my friends got married. So I'm trying to get someone who's ever listening to understand that marriage is a serious thing. And when you don't do it for the right reasons, it can create emotional baggage. And then now you went in with this one expectation. Now you're coming out somebody else, but then you're carrying that emotional baggage to the next relationship. So,
got it.
Okay.
So number two?
Number two. Let's go to number two.
Number two.
Okay, wait. Before we go to number two, so you said the deal breaker was when he wasn't working.
Yes.
And so
it was very similar to Lisa. All he had ever wanted to do was play baseball. But there was never, I always say you can be too good because you don't know how, when everyone is good, to go past that. So when he wasn't working.
No, not about him.
Okay.
I'm going back. Okay. So that was your deal breaker.
That was my deal breaker.
But how did you get divorced? How did it come about?
I just knew I could not raise two children. I was pregnant. And I knew I could not raise two children.
So how were you feeling emotionally? Like, what inside you, both of you, made you say, okay, I'm leaving? Like, it takes an inner strength for people to do that.
Just to be done. Just to say, you know, I can't do this anymore. I was valuing my child.
Okay.
And myself. Okay. Over that relationship. Because I had given all I could give. And when I couldn't give anymore, and I felt that it wasn't working for me, mm-hmm. and it wasn't going to work for my child. That's when I knew I had to step away.
So this is about 3 or 4 years in.
So this is about 2 years in.
2 years
this
in.
This is about 2 years in.
Okay. And so then you had the baby.
I had the baby.
And you stayed an additional year or two.
No, we were separated.
Okay.
It just took that long
to get the divorce.
Okay.
Okay. So now we're on marriage number two, not husband number two. We're on marriage number two. So after the first one, how did you feel? What did you learn from the first one? And you said, going into this next one, I'm not going to do this, or I learned this, so I'm looking for that. So I'm looking for something that we can take for people who may have just gotten out of one marriage. Do this before you go into the next one. So that's what I'm looking for. What can we tell someone who may be contemplating divorce? And what can you tell them, either, you know, if it's not right? Because sometimes we jump the gun and with divorce, and mm-hmm. and other times it definitely needs to be right. Mm-hmm. But what can you tell them if you're contemplating divorce? do this, do that, learn this, learn that. So give them some jewels.
I would think that beforehand, there have to be conversations. There have to be conversations. If you do premarital counseling, whether it's with a professional psychologist or with a minister, you have to be honest.
I totally agree.
You can't go into these conversations and hold back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because I went through counseling with the third marriage, both pre and
during.
Mm-hmm. And I was afraid to be honest. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it didn't work. And it will never work if you're not honest. And
honest with yourself or honest with your mate?
Both.
Okay.
Both. You have to be honest with your mate because they, if you're not honest with that person, how do they know what your expectations are? Mm-hmm. And if you're not honest with yourself, you're dooming the relationship.
I know I wasn't perfect either. Mm-hmm. I had, you know, like I had told you, I had that postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. And that really took a toll on things, and he was there for me through all of that too. So I'm not saying it wasn't, you know, it wasn't all him. I take my part in it too.
Were you honest with yourself in saying, I know he's XYZ. So in order, and if I want this marriage, like sometimes, because we're so busy looking outside of ourselves that we're not really looking at what is the true issue here? Because yes. So if you were honest with yourself and saying, I knew going in he was this type of person.
I think I did it too late. I think I, you know, like I married him and then knowing how he, who he was as a person. And I asked myself that too late because I think I went in thinking that I could fix him.
Right. Exactly. And exactly. And that's what I mean by being honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. You, I know this is the person. Mm-hmm. I know who he is. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to put on these blinders because I'm pregnant and I want it to work. Mm-hmm. So we have to take account for what we're doing in a marriage. Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yes.
So,
I mean, I shouldn't have, you know, I guess I don't want to say that I regret doing that because I think him and I both came out of it
better.
And our kids are better, as bad as that sounds, because you never want your kids to have to go through divorce and
exactly. All of
that. But my reason why we got a divorce is because I did not want my kids to see their parents not loving each other. We were sleeping in different beds for 4 years. The kids were sleeping with me. I don't want my kids to see that. And that's what I told them. I said, hey, we need to take a look at our relationship. Like, is this healthy for our kids to see? The answer is no.
So let me, before we get into 2 and 3, I just want to go back a step. So do you think your upbringing and his upbringing had anything to do with the...
I grew up with my family not having my dad around. But we had this conversation. I had told him when we got married, my dad wasn't around. Mm-hmm. And I wanted him
to be the opposite, around
and be there for my kids. And he did exactly what I asked him not
to do.
And that was very difficult for me.
With being honest with yourself, in the back of your mind, if you know my dad was never there and now you're doing what I specifically asked you not to do because that triggers something inside of me. Do you think that also had a part in your marriage not working?
Absolutely.
So what about your past? So did your background and his background, like, do you think your background and your upbringing, like you said, you didn't have a role model for marriage. Do you think any of that played a part in?
I think in all three, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. So, I think it played a part for just my development as a woman.
Okay.
From, you know, dating as a teenager to all relationships. I know when I look back, I always tell people, you know, they say, you've been married 3 times. I say, yes. And it's me. I know it's me. It's not anybody else. It's me. And I think I've grown enough to know it's me. It's not the other people.
So what's the brokenness in you? Because it's a brokenness. I don't want to sound harsh, but.
Oh, it is.
But I'm saying that because when you said you have to be honest, we have to be honest why, one, our relationships aren't working.
Yes.
Our marriages aren't working. Mm-hmm. And it's not just relationship with our mates. It's relationships at work. It's relationships with our kids. It's relationships with our family members. What was broken? Have you worked on it? Like, have you ever sat down and said, what is wrong with me? What is broken and what can I do to fix it? And what have I learned from those relationships that have helped me become a better person and I can actually work on it and see it? Because that's a real hard fact to face sometimes.
Well, I've been told that I don't like confrontation.
Okay.
And that's very true. I like everybody to kumbaya and everybody to get along, and I don't like conflict. So I think that is a barrier to being honest in a relationship, because okay. there are going to be times that someone is not going to like what you say to them. And so avoiding those conversations avoids the conflict, and then you avoid the honesty.
So what makes you not like confrontation? It has to be something in your past.
I don't know.
So did your mom and dad argue?
I did not physically see my dad until I was in eighth grade.
Okay.
Never. And that was just a happenstance. So he was never involved in my life.
And see, sometimes it's because maybe you felt you had to, we have something in our lives that we're trying to prove ourselves to. So you don't want to upset your mom, or you don't want to upset your aunt, or you have a sibling that's always creating problems. So you don't want to be that problem sibling. So there's something, if we look deep enough, there's something there that's actually causes us to become who we are mm-hmm. as an adult.
Being an only child raised by three women, that might be it.
Women are confrontational.
And three very strong women. Now, my mom was not confrontational. My mom was the one who was always the laid back one. She didn't. Now, my grandmother and my aunt, oh, they'll curse you out in a minute. And my mom was always the one. D-A-M-N. Really? It has less emphasis if you spell it out.
Okay.
You know, so I don't know if I'm a combination of
exactly
those two,
right?
And battling between those two.
So did you like it when your aunt and your grandmother were overly aggressive?
No, but I see a lot of myself in them. When I get pushed to a point, mm-hmm. I can be that way, but it was a difficult thing to see because you don't know how to react to it.
Okay, so let's go to number two. So we're out of number one. How many years have passed?
Let's see. Probably about 7 or 8.
Okay, and do you think you were at a better place?
No.
So again, you went into this marriage again, head in, this without trying to fix anything, you probably thought there was nothing wrong with you at that time.
Well, no, I knew there was. My mom had passed.
And the second one.
Yes.
Okay.
My mom had died. I had just come out of a horrible relationship with a guy that was married. Did not know he was married until his wife came home. So I was broken. And here comes a guy who adores me. And at that point in my life, I wanted to be adored.
Right. We all want to feel that way. Right?
And mm-hmm. But I did not love myself.
Exactly.
So I could not love him.
Exactly.
So that marriage possibly could have worked, but I don't have anything to give to you.
Wait. You said you were dating him. Oh, you had just got out of the relationship with the married guy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you had just got out of the relationship with the married mm-hmm. guy.
And started, you know, relationship so
with another one. You okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so how long did you date before you got married?
Probably less than a year.
Because you were...
I needed validation.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you got in there.
I knew from the beginning. I remember maybe a week before saying, well, you know, we can always get divorced. That's not how you go into
a marriage. Absolutely. With one foot in and one foot out.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it just did not work because I couldn't love him.
And something in the back of your mind knew.
Oh yeah.
If for you to say, well, we can always get divorced.
Exactly. But I knew, but it was just what I thought I needed at that particular time.
You wanted someone to love you because you weren't loving yourself.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Your comments?
I get it.
Yeah.
So, but again with you, so you said that it wasn't in something inside of you when you got divorced. So is that, does that mean that you weren't loving yourself? And then at what point did you start to love yourself? At what point did you start to realize that I need to start healing from this marriage and start rebuilding? And it all starts with what?
With me.
Absolutely. Okay.
Well, so after I had my son, I started to go to a therapist whom I've been seeing for 5 years.
And so you went there for what? Looking for what? What were you looking for?
Just to figure stuff out.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You can say me. Go ahead. Be real.
Was it just you? Did you go alone?
Well, so we went to, me and my ex-husband, we went to 3 different couple therapists before I tried to make it work. I didn't want to get a divorce. I wanted to make sure I exhausted all of everything in my heart to try to make it work. So that was,
and I'm not pointing fingers or anything, but I think sometimes when we're looking outside to fix us, the problem is closer than we think because you're going to a therapist looking for a solution that you think is the problem. And we're not looking at the problem itself. So we're looking at, he doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. We're not doing this. We're not getting that way. He does. And all the while, again, we're looking at someone else as the problem instead of what actually is the problem and what am I playing in it? Because you're actually, if you know that I'm a person who likes to drink and then we get married, I'm not just all of a sudden not going to like to drink.
Right.
So if I'm a person that you know is not dependable and then we get married and now I'm still not dependable and you're making that a reason why we can't get along, that's not really the reason.
But I was expected to do that. Everything was taken away from my identity.
But you gave it away.
I had to. I had to take care of the kids.
But that's what I mean by our part in the marriage. See, instead of trying to change the person we're married to, we have to find a way to make that person better. Not by trying to change them, but trying to help them to see what they're lacking, what they can come to grips with. And how do you want to live your life? And how can I help you get there?
Right.
And so we're so busy pointing fingers, right?
I see it now.
We're so busy pointing fingers at the other spouse that in marriages, we're not really taking the time to say, what is my spouse lacking? And what do I need from them? And what do they need from me?
Right.
How can we be this puzzle for each other so that it fits together? Because people aren't going to change just because you say you're married. He's still the same person.
We went to couples therapy. That didn't work. Mm-hmm. What worked was me going to therapy and me fixing and figuring out what the issue was. So it goes back a long time ago to me not being heard by like my own family.
Okay.
Because just quick background, like I'm the youngest of 3. My sister when she was 4, she caught meningitis encephalitis. She had 3 major brain surgeries. Then my brother, he had 3 open heart surgeries. So I was kind of like left here on my own.
Yeah. With
no, like, you know,
attention, everything was. Yes. Yeah.
So it's like, I kind of, you know, and I got through and I was fine, but it was like, where are my parents? They're in the hospital.
Right.
You know, they're in the hospital. So it was just kind of like, and you bring that into a relationship where you just want to feel.
Yep.
You
want to be. And I can see that. I can see that because when you said you became everything again, I think it was you trying to be heard. Mm-hmm. It was you trying to be that presence that you didn't have. Mm-hmm. And that can be overwhelming. That can be suffocating in a marriage, especially for someone who probably didn't want to get into it in the first place. You know what I'm saying? Getting married out of the sheer fact that someone's pregnant and then just everything just kind of overwhelming at one time. And that's really what I'm trying to get at. The part we play. Mm-hmm. Our emotional baggage, our background, what we really bring to a relationship that we're so busy fighting over the bag of chips that we don't really realize that we're really the ones causing the commotion. And when we take a step back and start working on us, other things can kind of find their way in working out. But go ahead. So Marriage, did we talk about marriage too? We didn't talk about marriage too.
It lasted about 4 years, but it was...
Well, that's a good one going in. That was a good thing going in divorce.
Separated about 6 months, back together, separated, back together, separated, back together, till finally it was just time to let it go.
That was that toxic relationship, back together.
Yes.
And you just kept going back.
We just kept going back and...
No. I didn't say we.
We. Me. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Me. Yes. Me.
So because we're trying to fix the problem that we have as women. Mm-hmm. And it's not true. A man.
It is.
A man doesn't give us the problems. We create our own, mm-hmm. putting expectations in places that it shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. So go ahead. So we keep going back.
Yeah. So finally that was... done. Mm-hmm. So then probably about 5 years later comes marriage three.
So you're at what age now? About? Because you were 28 when you, 23.
I was 23. So then when I married the second time, I was 30.
Okay.
And then the third time I was 40.
Okay. So you should be a little bit wiser.
I should have been, but you know, the third one, again, me.
Mm-hmm. Keep carrying yourself around.
It was me. I had always been the person who made the money. This was somebody who came with, you know, he could take care of me.
Okay. Okay.
So, you know, his parents had money. They had a nice house. And so he's buying me this, he's buying me that. And I think that kind of clouded over the deficiencies that I saw in him.
Okay.
And I saw them.
Yeah, money can do that.
Clearly,
money can do that.
It wasn't that I wanted the money.
The money can do that. Yeah, money can make an ugly person look cute.
It made it easy, you know, because I was leaving a job to become a teacher.
Okay,
and so I had to quit my job, and he's like, "Oh no, you know, we've got this together. I'll pay this. I'll pay that. I'll pay this." So I'm just like, "Oh, okay." I never intended to get married again. Never.
Sounds like a pretty nice guy. Okay. okay. Right. I wasn't right.
He I got married because I still wanted the family. Mm-hmm. You know, my daughter was, when we met, I think she was 12. I still wanted the family, just like you were saying, Lisa, you know, that we do things together with the kids. And, you know, so I only have one child, but I'm thinking, okay, you know, the first thing I took him to was one of my daughter's basketball games, because this is
family.
This is what's important to me.
Right, right.
But he was never into that. She was always... Why it was almost like, why is she here? He wanted a wife, but he didn't want
the extra.
The extra. And it became, I stayed in that marriage for 13 years.
Wow. That's a long time for someone not to want my daughter.
Yes. And it was.
And I say why. And I don't want to hear anything about him.
It was me.
But I want to know why. How do you stay in a relationship?
How do I justify it?
Yeah. How do you stay in a relationship for 13 years for someone who doesn't want something that's the most important part of you?
Again, it was that financial. She was going to a private school, and I knew I couldn't afford it by myself. Then when she went away to college, and she went, you know, I was able to do traveling. She played basketball, so I was able to travel with her. Then when she went to grad school, I was able to pay her rent and her car note, which I wouldn't have been able to do if I was by myself. So there were things that I continued to justify, and it would have been able to make it happen by myself, but these are things I justified in my head.
And so did you ever try to see what was making the relationship? So, because I understand that you're dependent on the income. But what was the marriage like? Like, when it was just you and him, what was it like? What was, you know?
Nothing. It was nothing.
It was just a lack?
It was a lack. There was no communication. He got married to me for a different reason than I got married to him.
Okay.
And he would not be around. I mean, we lived in the same house, but we had extremely separate lives.
Can I ask what the reason was? Why did he marry you?
I honestly believe because he was almost 40, never been married before. And I believe that he was and is gay. And I think that I was a safe person to be married to, because now I, you know, I can be married and people will not look at me in that way. So this is a safety net for him, but he really didn't want a wife per se. He just wanted a safety net.
And so, and I don't know, but from the understanding is so you just played along.
You know what? I did not recognize it. My aunt tried to tell me.
No, when I say play along, I mean that, okay, you don't want a wife, so
I won't
I'm
be
comfortable,
it.
Right? I'm not going to be it. I'm going to do my thing. We're going to live right. I'm going to live in this house. I'm going to do my thing,
and you do your thing. And,
so
yeah,
so you settled.
I settled,
and that's what I mean, and that's what we do. We get into marriages, and what I would say is that if someone gets into a marriage, and that's what they want, then that's fine. But don't go into a marriage thinking that you're going to turn it into something else, or you don't try to figure out why it's that way. But go
and
ahead.
I would also say, don't get into a marriage if you have that gut instinct at the beginning when you're dating, because that's the time when you find out everybody is at their best when they're dating.
Absolutely.
And if you are dating someone and you're seeing these signs, look at them, recognize them, and determine that deal breaker.
Yeah.
You can't get into it and then say, like you said, I'm going to change this
right,
person.
Right.
I'm
going to make right. this person. If things are going to change when we get right.
Yeah,
right.
That ring is going to make a difference. Right. It doesn't.
The ring makes it worse for anyone Absolutely. Who's thinking the ring makes it worse, because now it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like the ring just kind of says, okay, you're stuck
you're
here.
Stuck. Yeah,
you're stuck here.
You become comfortable.
Yeah. Right. Or I'm in it now. What do I do? Mm-hmm. Because so many people are afraid to actually get into a marriage and then turn around and get divorced for whatever reason. Again, society. Mm-hmm. But I would say that don't jump into marriage so soon, because again, society tells us what to get married. Yeah. That's what we're supposed to do. Right.
Yeah.
So you know, and then when we grow up and we reach a certain age and we're not, then something's wrong with us. Why aren't you married? Mm-hmm. You know, but again, no one ever talks about what you should do after you get married. Like, what does marriage entail? What are we trying to do? But going back to you guys. So now you're out of one marriage, you're out of three.
Ugh.
What did we do?
Did you have to say three?
So what are we doing differently right now, ladies? What are we doing differently in our lives that so when the next fella comes along, we're not broken?
Well, like I said, I was going to therapy since my son was born. So I've been in therapy for 5 years and I go every week, every Thursday. So I have done a lot of personal growth myself, and just allowing myself to work on, you know, my past and my, you know, just the brokenness in my heart and dealing with the relationships with my family, that has helped tremendously. Just having the coping skills to understand why I feel the way I feel. And when I project onto certain people,
right,
like,
right,
I realize it, I recognize it, and I know what to do right away. I know what I'm doing. Also, just surrounding myself with good people and having boundaries is huge for me, because I'm a helper. But that's what I do in my heart. Like, I just like to help. I like to fix. I like to problem solve. So I have to not do that.
And we had that conversation before, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes when we are, our personalities are fixers, we seem to attract what? Problems.
People
need to be fixed, right?
Yes.
So we're broken.
Yes.
But we're fixers. Mm-hmm. And so we keep saying, why do we keep getting broken relationships? Because
you get what you give.
Yeah.
What you give off.
Yeah.
What you admit to
Absolutely.
Other people.
Mm-hmm. I want to help. I want to fix somebody. And then you wonder why you get into relationships that need fixing. Mm-hmm. So how about you?
I think I'm okay with being broken. I don't know how to become unbroken.
Sure you
there
do.
Is,
you
there can. Is a
yeah.
there is that fear. There's that
I'm
fear.
Still scared.
Jason,
there's no such thing as fear. There's no such thing as fear. There's no such thing. That's all made up in your mind.
I think I just had this conversation.
You know why I say that
too? With somebody being scared. I was still what did I say? I think it was with one of my students, because his father had passed and he you know, a year ago, and he was having like a relapse today, and he was talking to me a certain way. I'm like, can you please not talk to me that way? He said, anytime I talk to you that way, you know, I'm having like a relapse. And I said, you know what, he said, I'm being scared. I'm scared is what I'm feeling. And I said, you know what? I get that way too. I have a certain fear of how I feel. But I know that I deserve better, you know, just like you deserve better. Like right. Everybody deserves that love, because like you said, I think relationships.
Right. Absolutely.
We're supposed to love each other.
That's why we give love.
Mm-hmm.
So, going back, So I'm trying to get back to, you're not okay with the brokenness.
I almost feel I don't know how to get past it.
I want to know what you're doing to recognize the things that are holding you back, that are making you unhappy, and what you're doing in relationships that you need to fix so that you can love you. Because if you're okay with the brokenness, and I'm just trying to be real, mm-hmm. if you're okay with the brokenness, then that means you're not loving yourself.
What is the name of your psychologist?
I was going to say,
probably what I need to do is really talk to somebody.
Absolutely.
And dig deep. But, you know, there's that fear.
No,
there's a concern that I don't know if I want to really
go there. You don't want to face it.
You know, and I don't know what it is.
So. You know, just like people say they have a fear of, people want to be successful, but they have a fear of being successful.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a fear of anything. Mm-hmm. So I want to really fix what's wrong with me, but I don't want to face what I know.
What's wrong with me?
Right. Absolutely.
Because you're successful. You have all the, you know, people work for you, and you're very successful. You work out, you do all these things, and it's scary, but I know like I deserved better.
And it has helped you, right?
Absolutely. Coming,
learning. And do you feel as though you love yourself more, so you're able to give more love?
I have to say that I used to look in the mirror and hated what I saw. Mm. Because, you know, I mean, along with the divorce, I was 90 pounds heavier, and I was miserable. So I looked at myself and I said, I have two choices. I can either like continue on like this, or I can change. And so I picked to change, and it was an emotional, physical, and in my heart, I knew it was me. A lot of it was me. I was broken. So I said, I'm going to fix it, because now I have two kids. And if they are going to be raised by a mom, she needs to be good. Because if mom's not good, the shit doesn't roll. You know?
It's very true.
It does not. So now me and my ex-husband, we are good. You know, we're friends. And sometimes he still drives me nuts because he's not driven. He's not motivated. He's still the same person that he was before.
Right. He's not going to change. You know? Because that's who he was when you met him.
Right.
Absolutely.
He still needs for me to give him a schedule and all this stuff, but it's okay because I accept him for who he is.
Right, right. And that's the difference. You are accepting him instead of trying to change.
Correct.
Who he, now you know, this is who he is. Mm-hmm. And instead of me trying to change him, I can now work with it.
Right.
And that's the difference
and
in the healing.
And my kids see that.
Right.
My kids see that, and their behavior has changed tremendously because they used to play us like back and forth and play him. I mean,
that's what kids do,
you know, mm-hmm. and now it's just, it's better. And so going in, and now I have a boyfriend and we
what's
work
that
together.
Like?
So we're going to get to that.
Wow.
So
what's that
like? it's not cookies and cream. I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
But you, another thing that you have to understand is that you may be just the fear part of it. You may be preventing yourself
from healing. I know I am.
You know, and
preventing
and
myself from healing, preventing myself from
experiencing another guy,
another relationship.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. What are we going to tell people who are at that stage, whether it was their first marriage and it just devastated them or broke them, or their past broke them, and they know that, but they don't want to face the reality of, I need to start inner work. What are we going to tell them? What can we, because this is about sharing, and because you're not the only one. Mm-hmm. And so if you could tell you some advice, what would you tell you?
I would tell myself to be open, not to be fearful, not to let my past determine my future.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would agree with all those things. And I say that because I'm at a stage in my life where I have less years ahead of me than behind me. And I want to be happy. I want to be happy every single day. And if that means that I have to change some things that I do or rechange or whatever it is, I want to be happy. I don't want to live every day unhappy. I don't want to be miserable. Like, I just don't. When I'm unhappy or I'm sad, it's like, I don't want to feel that feeling again. Mm-hmm. And we all get upset.
And it affects everybody.
It does. It does, because I'm upset with my husband and then my daughter says something. Now I'm upset with her, or I'm just walking around angry for no reason. I don't like that feeling inside of me. If I can experience, if I know what love is and I know what happiness is, that's what I want. And I'm going to do whatever I need to do
to get there.
Right. And so I know that also I have a lot of personal work to do. So every day I know that there's things that we're all afraid of. So I have to tell myself, I am fearless. And it's not about relationships. It's things that, and we all become different people through the challenges in our lives. So, you know, what the experiences that I had when I was younger, it molded me to be a different person. But like, there's things that I may want to say to people that I don't say.
Because it's not worth it.
No, it's because you're fearful and yeah. You have to learn how to get around it. Mm-hmm. If I'm telling myself I'm fearless, then that means that there's a way to communicate. And I just have to learn how to say, if something that you're doing is affecting me, then I have to learn how to express that to you, because the only one it's affecting is me. Because if you do something to me and you're through with it and it doesn't bother you and you're walking around happy and I'm holding on to something, and that's what I'm trying to get with marriage. Mm-hmm. So whatever your spouse did or did not do, it has nothing to do with you facing it, letting it go. What part did I play? Let me heal from that. You can't hold on to something that someone else did, because the only person it's affecting is you.
And can I just say something real quick? Her saying that, like, I could see like you saying like you were married and divorced three times. Like, don't let that affect you.
It's just a number.
I can see it like in your face when you say it, like it bothers you. Like,
it does.
You know,
I feel like a failure. I failed at.
Okay.
And I don't like to fail.
And you know what? We have to stop viewing it that way, because you keep doing something until you get it right. So no. Because it's sort of like doing something and not having the correct instructions on how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't make us a failure. What it does, it gives us the tools to get the next one right the next time. So it's sort of like, you know, like when someone said, so you didn't learn how to ride the bike the first time. Did you throw the bike down and say, okay, or the fourth time? So I can't tell you how many times I fell off my bike, you know? And so it wasn't like I said, okay, I'm never going to ride that bike again. No, I kept getting back on the bike until I got it, because what I learned the first time is you don't lean to the left. What I learned the second time was you don't lean all the way to the right. What I learned the third time is that if I get a little speed and put both of my feet on the pedal, then I might stay upright. So it's not what we think is a failure. It's actually the building blocks to get you to where you need to be. Because if we're not right, we do have to grow through that process. So no, we have to stop looking at the challenges that we go through as failures. They're not. It's like math. You can't, they teach you that for a reason. They teach you addition, then subtraction, then multiplication, then division, then you get into algebra. So you can't skip one thing and think you're going to succeed in the next one. You have to go through those levels. So, and part of it is right now with all of us is that, you know, what am I doing in my life that I need to change? Not change the person, not change the relationship that I'm in. What do I need to do? Because in all honesty, we all deserve to be happy. And I think if there's any relationship out there that's not happy, what do we need to do to figure out how do I become happy? And I think the biggest part also in marriage is that we don't read. We don't have good role models. We don't go to therapist or premarital counseling or even counseling afterwards because we think something's wrong with it. You know,
stigma.
Right. It's society. So, and if we get the right tools going into it and we fix ourselves ahead of time, we can prevent this. Do you know that 50%, if you look up what's the divorce rate?
It's 50%.
50%.
And it's even higher. 50% with second marriage.
Second and third marriages. Absolutely. So what we're supposed to be learning from this. And that also means talking and studying. If you're a principal, I'm sure you had to do some studying to get to a certain degree, right? Mm-hmm. Why can't we study those things that we're not good at? If we're not good in relationships, why not study the good ones? What are they doing that's making it work? And what am I doing that's not?
Do you know what I have to say? This is funny. I'm embarrassed to even say it, but I'm not really embarrassed because it does help me because I know I'm very hard sometimes. So I need to be soft because
yeah, you are a little hard. I'm not even your mate.
Good. I have to be hard. My job is hard. I work with hard kids that call me names and blah, 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 all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like I have to be hard and I have to. It's something I work on. Mm-hmm. So what I do on Facebook, there's this lady that I follow. It's all about feminine energy. Mm-hmm. And I listen to her podcast and I practice her workbook. And that's what
you're helping you.
It's
right.
helping
we
me.
We have to find what we're weak at.
Mm-hmm. I'm very weak at because I've had to stick up for myself a lot. And sometimes I stick up for myself by saying the wrong things at the wrong times to the wrong person. And I don't mean it. And I brought that into my current relationship and he's had to check me and I've had to check because he's the same way too sometimes, but it helps me to understand that's something that's a fault of mine because I know that I'm hard, but it's hard to turn that off when I have to be hard to kids because I have this little lady that's working with mm-hmm. 6'3" kids and that's the only way that they're listening to me. So I have to shut it off when I leave outside my doors of work. Okay, now let me just breathe a second, reconvene with myself, refresh, you know, and then I have to learn how to, you know.
Be soft. Yes. Let a man
take care
be
of
a man.
Yes, and let him tell me how he needs to be taken care of. And that's what that.
And it's hard for us women.
That is the most difficult thing for me.
And it's not being vulnerable. It's learning when to be a lady and let them feel like a man. Mm-hmm. And then when we need to step up and be the man for them, because then they're acting like a lady. Because men, you know, they do that sometimes. They get a little weak, you know.
Yeah. And like if they have a cold.
Right. Allow them to feel weak because they need that too. They need to know that they need a shoulder to cry on.
Right.
Because otherwise, they're not going to ever allow you to see that side of them.
And it's just, and I think that's why so many relationships fail. Because we don't know how to turn off either our profession or our background.
Yeah.
Or both.
Right. So just, you know, going into a relationship and not having walls, but having boundaries, mm-hmm. you know, so not being afraid to be honest and show who we are, but still maintain who we are as a person so that they don't steal our identity. Mm-hmm. So we have to kind of have a yin or yang or balance in marriage, in dating, in relationships. But the first relationship we have to succeed in is the relationship with ourselves. Mm-hmm. So you guys are really quiet. I feel like I'm doing a lot of talking.
How do you teach that to people? How do you teach people to... Or women, how do you teach women to be strong in a relationship, but yet be vulnerable?
You talk about it. You talk about it because this is stuff we don't hear. And even if our parents or aunts or whomever in our families had to do it, sometimes they learned it through the sacrifices of their marriage. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what this is really all about. It's about helping marriages succeed. And the only way marriages are going to succeed is if we really talk about the things that make them fail. Talk about why are we so strong as women and we don't know how to put it down and say, let me let you be the male. You know, and even in my relationship, I'm very aggressive and
So how do you turn it off? So how do you, what are the things that you do to turn that off?
Self-awareness. I have to work on me every day. Every day I have to work on me. And so I have to say, I don't like this about myself. I don't, someone else telling me something is not going to affect what I do. I have to tell myself, what do I do that I don't like? I don't like to hurt his feelings. I don't like to hurt the people who love me. So if I know that I do things and I don't like it, like, you know what you don't like about yourself. Mm-hmm. So I have to step back and say, you know what? That's something I have to work on. I have to remember that he doesn't communicate the way I communicate. He doesn't. Yeah. Like, you
men
know.
Men are different. And I think a lot of times we don't appreciate those differences.
We try to change them.
We try to change them because we want them to be, we still want them to be strong and right, we want them to right, be men, but right, we want them to be the men that we want them to be.
And that's exactly.
And they don't like that.
No.
And we shouldn't want them to, because yeah, if they were the men that we wanted them to be, they would probably wouldn't be with us. We're attracted to something that makes them who they are, but then we're trying to change because
I've learned in my current relationship that I'm not changing anything. And I actually like the process that we're going through. Because at the beginning, we had a couple pretty big fights because he was trying to change me, I'm trying to change him. And it's like, we're not changing each other. Let's work on the problem.
Right.
So the couple things that we learned, we both like each other. We both like our space. We need our space. We need time to work on ourselves. And that's a huge piece of it. Like, I think when you go into a relationship after I've been broken and he's been broken, mm-hmm, although he wasn't married, you need time to work on yourself and have your space and do the things that you like to do.
Yeah. I think so. We need time to put bandages on those wounds and let them heal, mm-hmm, so that we can become better for the next relationship.
So we don't need to be together 24/7. Mm-hmm. You know, we need time.
Like when you were 18 and right, you have to do everything together and right, you wear matching t-shirts and like, with your names on the back. And right, you don't have to. Yeah. Right. It's okay. You don't have to do that.
I need time for myself.
You do.
I need time for my friends.
And it's nothing, there's nothing wrong with that.
For my friends. I mean, I yeah, really don't. Like, my time is
it's the
taking
kids,
a bath or the kids, like, mm-hmm, or just laying in my bed in the dark. Like, that's just awesome. Like, no one talked to me, nothing. You know, I mean,
your me time.
Yes.
We need that too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another thing we don't do. We don't give ourselves me time. Mm-hmm. And even if we're not married or we're by ourselves, we're always trying to do something for someone else.
There's a guilt of
not doing something.
Yeah. If I sit yep, still, there's something I should be doing.
Yeah. I used to be like that. Yeah. I got out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to really feel guilty. If I sat for a minute and I'm like,
I feel guilty that I can't sit.
No, trust me. If you get a minute and you sit, shoot, like, you're going to feel guilty. Like, yeah, you should be doing something. Yeah. You do. And I had to work out of that. And it's just, it's like this self, we're constantly building ourselves to be better. And the first thing that I would tell anyone anywhere at any age is self love and preservation is so important. Mm-hmm. It is, because if I'm coming into a relationship and, like I said, I'm broken or partly broken, or I think I know all the answers, you're trying to put that off on someone else.
Absolutely.
And it's really you.
It's not going to work.
It's not.
It won't work.
I think yeah, people don't, women don't realize, or men, that relationships are work. I always tell people, it's like, if you have one job, it's like a second job. If you have two jobs, that's your third job, because it takes work. It takes effort.
And it's just like work, but
it's not going to just happen.
No. And it's exactly. But it's just like work, except you can't leave the person. Like, when you have someone at work gets on your nerve, you can leave them. Like, mm-hmm, you go home. But with a relationship, if you don't work through it, then it's not going to work.
And there's not a lot of people that want to put the work in. So when you find that person that really, really wants to put the work in, then you need to
invest in that person.
You need to invest in that person.
I agree. And I think the more time we spend with ourselves and getting to know what we don't like and being able to show the softer side of who we are. Speaking of that, I have a cousin who recently got married and she was like, she has a problem with that. She's like, she was single for so long and I'm pretty sure she's probably 40 now and she's just had her first marriage. And it's like, I don't know how not to be the head of the household. I don't know how not to wear the pants, how not to be everything I need to be and let him be the man. Like I don't, and it's a struggle. It's a struggle because, you know, we think that we have to do everything and we don't. Sometimes if we just allow other people to do things for us, we'll realize that those things, they'll get taken care of. You know, even with my kids, I'm like, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to remind them. I'm not going
to
remind them.
That's what I'm working on right now. I talked with my daughter today because last night she had an episode. She said, brush teeth. Mom, I'm going to brush my teeth. So we're going to do a timer. We're going to set a timer so I don't have to tell her 50 times to brush your teeth.
but that's what, so it's funny.
I don't want to argue with her.
Right. It's so funny.
I don't want to argue with
her. I wish I had learned that early on. Mm-hmm. So like my boys, they're, you know, they're older and, you know, I make text them and say, don't forget to do this. And then I'll call them, be like, don't forget to do this. And then I'll text them, like, okay, like you told me how many times, you know, like you don't have to keep, but in my mind, you know, I'm a mom. I want to make
you still. You're always going to be a mom. I can be in the store and hear somebody say "mom," and you can be a 2 year old, and I'm turning around looking. I don't have a 2 year old. Why am I looking at this child?
But it's that thing that we think we have to do, and we don't.
What is that?
I'm going to tell them.
What is that?
I'm going to tell her, my daughter, or my son, or my husband. I'm going to tell them one time, and guess what? I'm starting to get to the fact that if it doesn't get done, I'm okay with it. Because you know what? Who it stresses it out? It stresses out me. And they're still not doing it. It stresses me out. I don't want to argue. I don't want to fuss. I don't like it.
So what happens if they don't do what you asked?
I'm learning to let it be okay. I'm stepping over the shoes.
See, that's hard.
But you know what? Because it's not killing me on the inside. So because if I'm stressing over it, and now I'm bringing it back up. Now I'm at a point where I'm upset because it didn't get done. Mm-hmm. But guess what? It didn't get done according to my expectation. Right. And not theirs. Not theirs. So, you know, it would really drive me crazy. Mm-hmm. And so, and it's a little, you know, it's like a time bomb inside of me. And I have to go and kind of put it out because I'm like, I want it done now.
You want to see it get done.
Right, right. But guess what? The only person, again, sort of like when someone does something to you, the only person is harming is me. I'm literally stressed out and they literally do not care.
Yep.
Yeah. So
it's like
I'm
kids
like,
and homework at school.
I know.
Yeah. You know, I tell teachers, just let it go. You're not going to get the homework back. You're not going to get it back. So don't send it home. Make them do it at school.
Or whatever. Or be okay with
knowing.
Be
okay that you're not going to get it back.
And that's what I mean by diffusing things that we can control.
Yeah.
So we can control what we do in a relationship. Mm-hmm. We can control how much work we put in and we take out. We can't, the things that we can control, we should control. The things that we can't, we have to become better gripped with, okay, I can't change that. I can't change a person. I have to learn how to deal with it. Sort of like your ex-husband. I know this is who he is, and now we can relate because you have accepted the fact that he's not going to be what you want him to be. Mm-hmm. Same thing with problems. Mm-hmm. But now the things that that we can change about ourselves, like loving ourselves, taking time for ourselves, and believing that it's a process. And as long as we're living, we were meant to be loved and to give love. Mm-hmm. Because that makes you, that when you're giving love and receiving love, it's something, I don't know, I'm not a scientist, but it's a part of us that it feeds, that it heals us.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it feels good.
Yeah, you know? it feels good. Mm-hmm. And that's why we need it. We think we're okay without it, but no man is an island. And there's a reason. Mm-hmm. That's why babies need touch, whatever. And that's why sometimes when that right person does come along, if we haven't put in the work and they touch you, you can feel it because you need that touch, but you have to be ready and open to be able to receive it. Mm-hmm. So going into relationships, so now that you are dating, mm-hmm. share something with that. As far as like things you're doing differently in the relationship that you didn't do with your first one.
Communicate. Mm-hmm. We are awesome at communicating.
Now, was it always that way, or did you begin to develop that communication with him based on your past?
Yes. We had a couple he's a good communicator and I'm a good communicator just individually. And then coming together, we were good communicating, just like little stuff. But then I noticed a couple like little red flags in the beginning, like a little jealousy on his part and a little anger on his part. And I'm like, whoa, like back up, because I'm going to be who I am. I'm going to be who I am. You knew me before. I don't need for you to tell me not to do something, like not to talk to whomever I was friends with, but just because he's a male, that's not going to happen. So if you're going to have a problem with that, you can go eat rocks, because this is who I am.
And I set in the stage up front.
Right. Now,
and it showing the better side of ourselves, but saying, hey, this is who I am.
Like I was friends
and setting the stage.
And, mm-hmm. you know, so we just started, you know, that was like, it was a pretty big fight, like it probably month one. So we kind of sat down and we just discussed like how we felt about certain situations. And he kind of told me about how he thinks some men think and how some men look at me or women in general, mm-hmm. or whatever. So we discussed that and we were just open. He shared his thoughts. I shared my thoughts and it was a good situation. So he's just been doing really well on his end. So just both understanding like our own flaws, I guess, and then coming together and working on our issues by just communicating.
So you think that by you speaking to a therapist, you actually influenced him?
Absolutely.
And
I kind of told him at one point, like,
he's dealing with some things.
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. he gets very like the minute he doesn't feel heard, he's like, well, you didn't hear what I said. And if I say sorry, he doesn't hear me the first time. I have to literally grab his face and say, I apologize for whatever, you know? So he's working on that. But me going to my own therapist, I told him, I said, mm-hmm. I have worked on myself and we can't be good if you're not good and I'm not good. So we both individually need to be good for this to work.
And see, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Just recognizing that we need more than just ourselves to help ourselves. Mm-hmm. However way we determine it, mm-hmm. however we find ways to help ourselves become the better us.
And I almost feel like him and I were brought together to kind of almost heal each other a little bit. You know, I understand where he hurts and I have to pick him up a little bit. He understands when I'm projecting, like, that's not about me. That's about your dad. Like, shut up. And so I'm like, hey, thank you for checking me. So I get it. You know, and he gets me and I get him. And sometimes we just need our space. But we're also like, if we get into something stupid, like a little argument, we get a 20-minute break. Talk to me after 20 minutes, or you talk to me after 20 minutes. And those arguments are now few and far between.
Good. That's,
you know, like we have really, I'm just so proud of us. Like it makes me happy that I have somebody that we can communicate that way. And if we have a little argument,
you know, what
we understand.
Yeah. And
you guys understand each other.
That's awesome.
And I have never like had a man that will say, I'm going to work on this, and him actually
work on it.
Keep his word and work on it. And that to me means the world to me. He didn't have to buy me gifts. I don't expect anything. I don't need his money. I got myself. Like that's why I'm independent. But like I need for a man to keep his word. I need anybody, not just the man, anybody. You tell me you're going to do something, please do it. Because, you know, I try to do that for the people in my life. Your word means the world to me. And I told him that when we started. And that's what he does. He tells me something, he follows through. So.
Now, how long have you been dating?
I want to say 4 months. So, and I've met his family. He's met my family. And his family is amazing. Like, and his grandfather just died, so I'm going to that celebration funeral tomorrow. And I know it's going to be hard for him, but he has handled it. And, like, even I just tell him, like, because I know how he gets emotional, I'll just say, what do you need from me? Instead of saying, I'm going to do this for you.
Right.
Like, what do you need? Right. So I've learned how to communicate a little bit better on my end and to be soft and allow him to tell me what he needs. So I don't know. I just.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And it's the process. Mm-hmm. It's the process of understanding where I've come from, what I want in the future, and what I need to do to get there.
Mm-hmm. It's a good feeling. I mean, it feels good. It feels genuine. It feels right. And I've never said that ever about any of my relationships ever, even my marriage. And I tell him that, like, who knows if I'll get married? I don't even want to go that because it's a day by day with me. Like, I just want to take it because I'm happy. We're happy. And that's all it's about to me.
Absolutely. And that's what it should be. So. And that's what it should be. So usually we, unless there's, it, we want to touch on anything else. Are you sure?
I'm just listening and absorbing and trying to take away good ideas and suggestions that I can use.
And you'll get there too.
Yeah.
Usually I try to close it out with what advice you could give someone. So I want to start with Cynthia, and I want you to relate to whether it's male or female. Anyone who may be struggling with relationship issues, personal love, whatever, what advice can you give someone that they can start doing now to move into a healthier them so they can start to have healthy relationships?
I would say to be patient with yourself, be kind to yourself, love yourself, and be loving to yourself. As you were stating, you know, read, learn more about yourself so that you are able to give more to others. Be accepting of your flaws and look at them as opportunities for growth.
Okay. Okay. Anything else?
No.
You sure? Dig deep. Dig deep. Nothing else?
No.
Okay. And how about you, Lisa?
I would just say it starts with yourself for sure. And like you said, self-love, but also just understanding yourself as a person, like understanding your wants, your needs, expressing those to your partner. And also not only your partner, but any relationship, whether that be your friend, your parents, your kids, having conversations, mm-hmm. and just being honest and open. Like, I have to have these conversations with my 9-year-old daughter. Like, why are we not getting along? Why are we arguing? There's no need to be frustrated with each other. Let's have a plan. Let's come up with it. Let's follow through. And that seems to help because people like control. People like to be in control, mm-hmm. but also people like to feel happy and they don't want to be sad. There's no reason to have these power struggles.
Right.
So
right.
let's figure out what works for you and let's figure out what works for mom.
Right.
So I just feel like it's all about talking about and coming up with what works for both people in a relationship because everybody comes with baggage, I think. You know, everybody has different feelings. Everybody has different emotions. But you if you don't talk about it and you just pretend that it's not there because what you're thinking is not what I'm thinking. Everybody is wired differently, but you have to talk about it. Otherwise, you won't ever know what the other person's thinking. You can assume all you want.
Right, exactly.
It's you can't. Assumptions are no good, but you have to have boundaries with people as well too, because you can't keep giving if the other person's not going to give back. So I guess advice I give, love yourself, communicate, put boundaries where needed, and be soft. The yes. woman needs to be soft and allow the man to be a man.
I agree. I agree with all that. And just as you were going through it, I was reflecting and I was just thinking, Jason and I are working on our New Year's resolution and it is reaction. And so he said the big part is not just him and I reacting to each other. It's how do I react to other people? So, and it made me think of that when you said it's not just relationship with your mate or whomever you're picking, but your daughter. So you need to, you know, like, I need to realize that I don't need, always need to have a power struggle. Like, she doesn't, I don't need to tell her what to do. Sometimes we have to treat people like people, and we have to stop allowing our, whatever we do, our overbearingness or whatever, mm-hmm. or need to be in control to control other people. Mm-hmm. And I, and again, it's just like compounding on when we start working on us, then other relationships start to fall in place. Mm-hmm. Other, because it's not just one relationship. If we actually take a step back and look at all of our relationships, we'll see how we keep playing that same role, mm-hmm. and those relationships keep doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a big part, that everything we do, say, think, act has to begin with us. We have to start making ourselves better, not for someone else, but for us. Because mm-hmm. when we're better, we make the relationship better.
Right.
And it makes it easier. And even though relationships are work, it will be less work when you learn to communicate, when you learn how to love, when you learn how to give, when you learn how to receive, when you know how to be soft and be hard, or whatever, be in control and not be in control. Mm-hmm. So all those things play a part. I want to thank you, ladies, so much for saying yes mm-hmm. and deciding to be on. And I think that's it. Just remember, we're in it to win it.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Loving Beyond the I Do podcast. Head over to iTunes to subscribe and leave a review. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Legendary Relationship, or visit our website at legendaryrelationship.com. Till next time, remember to make every day count.